It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The TMZ report on Tiger, his DUI, they said he reeked of alcohol and all of that stuff and
right.
the breathalyzer.
Right.
So that was totally off. So that was the one I was referring to in talking about how the Justin Bieber story might not be 100% true because we just got burned from the old TMZ Tiger story. And Cambro86 tweets us, said Bieber's face will be buried back in a bong by Labor Day. But he could still...
That's so wrong.
He could still... What?
He could still smoke and praise the Lord.
Right.
Come on. It comes from the Mother Earth. Right?
Yeah. You don't
believe in creationism. He created it. Blame it on him.
Just like the music.
Yeah.
You can have both.
And Jesus was a junkie, baby. He had to be to put up with all this.
Wait a second.
That's what Richard Pryor said.
Oh, okay. It was a Richard Pryor line.
Yeah.
You should have said, like Richard Pryor said.
Well, I said it after the fact.
Yeah, no, I
said
know.
How I want to say it.
No, but I'm just saying, everybody got
horse,
freaked
you
out.
Hold the tail.
You have had a lot of horse references over the years.
Grow up here in Texas around horses.
Geo and Jones.
Yeah.
No, I was a little bit concerned that you were saying that Jesus was the junkie, not
Why?
Richard Pryor.
I can say it too.
No,
Why
I know
can
you,
I say it.
I know you can, but it was
everybody
just,
gonna get upset.
I'm just here.
The religious zealots gonna be upset. They're gonna protest CBS Sports Radio. Let them protest.
Maybe they will.
Jesus was a junkie, baby. I got from a horse a couple years ago. It felt great.
It did.
If someone just tuned into us for the first time, how confused they would be.
Pretty much.
We talk sports here on Geo and Jones.
Sometimes.
Occasionally. So this Hugh Freeze story was something that captivated the world of college football the end of last week. And any time that you are a hypocrite, a Bible-thumping person who then turns out to be the opposite of that in real life, things will come back to bite you. And we saw that with his Twitter account. We read a lot of his old tweets, how funny they are when we find out the escort story.
Yeah.
And now there's some audio that has emerged from July 14th, before all this happened.
Mm-hmm.
And this is from the great Jason Romano Sports Spectrum podcast. And Hugh Freeze was talking about how sometimes that pull of sin... It
grabs you.
And
you can't ungrab it.
That's right. So here is.
And it starts getting good to you.
Well, let's let
it. And you keep allowing it to grab you.
So here it is. This is Hugh Freeze on the Jason Romano Sports Spectrum podcast talking about just that.
You know, I went through a period of, man, was my faith genuine then? Because I shouldn't be dealing with all of this. And it took me talking a lot with my mentors to really understand, you know, the battle with the sin nature will never go away. And, you know, it's only by God's grace that we can overcome that.
It never goes away, G. I just give in to it sometimes. Why fight it?
And so did Hugh.
Yeah. I mean, yep. It never goes away. And sometimes you got to lean on your mentor, Bambi. Ben, you got to lean on him.
Bambi. This is a Coach Freeze again looking for Bambi.
By God's grace.
Can I get Bambi again? Yep, same place, same price. Mm-hmm. Yep, Mr. Freeze. That's right.
You know why they call me Freeze, don't you?
Cold in name only. Mm-hmm. All right, a guy who still got his job is Jim Harbaugh. And it's Big Ten media days and their day or days. I don't know. They have more than one day, too.
They don't have four.
It's just. He's the only guy worth paying attention to that's going to say anything interesting. So he did talk about a lot of the things that happened last year, the trip this past year.
Italy.
Right. And yeah. And he said that last year's crappy finish should be a catalyst for them to come out like a house on fire this year.
Lost three out of the last four games. I mean, okay, good. Maybe that'll motivate us to put more into it, you know, coach better, play better, train harder, put more of our heart into, you know, each and every one of those ball games.
You're a believer in that, that the end of a season, because this is a conversation that comes up in sports a lot, where momentum from the end of a season could carry over into the next season if it ended poorly, or the fact that you end with a bad taste in your mouth, you can come back and be more focused like Jim Harbaugh talked about.
The latter. Yeah. The latter, because once you have that success, the key and the huge hurdle is to not get soft with success. But if you're coming off a poor season and you go through a rigorous off season, yes, the memory and the pain of that poor season, the way you ended a season, and then that coupled with a difficult off season in which you work your butt off and you start to rebuild that confidence, those can assist as you move into the next season. Yeah, because you don't forget about, you know, being below 500. Not that Michigan was there, but I'm speaking for myself. My junior year, you end up 5-6. Senior, you go on and win the conference. So yes, it can definitely help.
And Jim Harbaugh also had some fun. He was yelling in a hallway amongst reporters, saying, "This is how a quarterback should sound. Mm-hmm. They should have fun screaming.
Be loud. It's really easy. Be loud. You know, Blue 80. That's the easiest thing about being a quarterback."
This is Jim Harbaugh, the tour of the Jim Harbaugh tour.
He loves it.
Continued. I didn't think about it. He's losing his mind.
He's taking you behind the scenes, man. Giving you a little insight. Yeah. What it's like to be the quarterback.
Blue 80!
I know I've brought this up before, but does it stop being cute this year if they don't have a spectacular season?
Well, he's not going to change, and yes, everything gets old. Look at Les Miles, the eating of the grass, all the quirkiness, his idiosyncrasies. Yeah, everyone talked about that, but it became old because he couldn't beat Alabama, lose to them 5-6 years in a row. You're not winning the conference. You're not winning your division. So, yes, it gets old. You can't find a quarterback. Really? You got all this other talent, but you don't have the one piece you definitely need, even someone that's just, you know, just average. So, yes, it can grow old if you're not amassing wins and big wins.
But he's a guy, I think, that as you've seen this team mature, I mean, they've still been pretty damn good.
No, they're good.
They haven't been a college football playoff team yet.
But you're right.
But you've got to have a little patience. If they have another year similar to last year, you can't be all that upset.
They are damn good, and he also has yet to beat his arch rival. You have to win those games. Win your home games and beat your rivals and get to a bowl game. That used to be the standard. Now, he's getting to the bowl games. He's winning at home, but he can't beat Ohio State, or he's yet to beat Ohio State. He has to win that game.
Yeah, and I think that, what was it, year three of Harbaugh in every place is generally a big one, right? I think that's the way it's been, both Stanford and with the San Francisco 49ers.
Well, the 49ers, immediately, they turned around.
They went to the Super Bowl.
His first year there, yeah, they went to the Super Bowl, but his first year there, they went to the NFC Championship game, didn't they? I believe they did.
I think it might have been, was it the second and the third was a Super Bowl, or did they go the three straight championship games? I don't even remember. It's like ancient history now.
Right.
But I think it was his third year that they went to the Super Bowl. That's why it's popping in my head.
But to immediately turn the team, the 49ers, into a playoff team, that was a miracle.
Yeah, so first year he went all the way to the championship game.
Right.
Second year he went back there, right?
Then went to the Super Bowl and lost to his brother.
The second year.
Oh, and then the third year.
Lost
to Seattle again. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Did not qualify.
The fourth year.
Right. Fourth year was when all the turmoil.
So it was year two. All right. Yep. So he's already past that. But, so we got to put the pressure on him now.
He just wants to get to the playoffs. He wants to beat Ohio State. That's first and foremost. Just beat Ohio State. You have to beat your arch rival. You go back to Ohio State when John Cooper was there. John Cooper, stellar record at Ohio State. Could he beat Michigan? No. That's why he was no longer the coach. Couldn't beat Michigan.
Yeah, the phrase this year for Jim Harbaugh, he said, was strap on the iron jock. That's what he said. I'm not making it up.
I'm going to need one of those when Katya comes here. But I don't even like big booties. I like her. Strap on the iron jock. Is there going to be a whole bunch of kicking in the groin area?
I guess so.
Draymond Green going to be invited to the game? What's the deal?
Blue 80!
Well, he doesn't mince words.
No.
And he gives it to you straight. If he gives it to you at all, because he can be kind of cantankerous with the press. But strap it on, then.
Save that.
If the coach tells you to do that.
We got a drop for the rest of the year, that's for sure. Strap it on, then.
Yeah. Coach says, he didn't go on to elaborate what that means. You've heard coaches say that all the time in terms of your helmets. Make sure you strap that chin strap on tight. You know, it's going to be a hard one after today. You've heard that. But the iron jock, that's a first. Yeah. For me.
And me.
Yeah.
Anybody else heard that one before? All right. Michael Vick is a coaching intern.
Yep.
With the Kansas City Chiefs this summer. And I think that he's going to be a terrible coach. And here are my reasons why. I think that anybody who lived on talent alone ends up being someone who can't coach. And the biggest example of this was told to me by none other than, I think, the greatest defensive player to play football in Mean Joe Green.
Mm-hmm.
Interviewed him once in Pittsburgh, and he talked about his time coaching and how he had a real rough time coaching.
Yeah.
Because he couldn't understand why the players couldn't do the stuff that he did. Well, just do it like this. Just beat the double team.
It was second nature to him.
Yeah. And Michael Vick, self-admittedly, has said that he never really practiced all that hard, never worked out all that much. Now, I do think there is something to be said about someone who learned their lesson and then goes back and then tells people, okay, you know, I didn't do this, so I know how important it is to do it. But someone like Michael Vick, the things that he did were not coached to him.
No.
He was just pure athleticism.
Right.
So he might be someone that's cool to have around, and the players are into it, and it lightens up training camp. And Michael Vick to other players has always been this guy that's like mesmerizing to them, what he's been able to do. But as far as his ability to coach, I would have major questions about it.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. He's going to be an intern there with Kansas City throughout their training camp. And he and Andy Reid have a relationship, so you would think he'd learn getting a second bite at the apple. After being in prison, he had learned that he had to play the game or go about the game in a different way. First of all, those skills, much of his skills had eroded, so you're not going to be running around as much as you did when you were younger in the league. And you've been out of the game for a couple years, so you think you'd have to lean more on the mental aspect than the athletic aspect, even as fine an athlete as he was. So I'd be interested to see how it plays out, because you're correct. I mean, you sit and you look at guys doing certain things, and okay, that looks pretty simple, pretty rudimentary to me. Why is it not registering with this such and such player? And that's why coaches go crazy. And they have been for a long, long time, and a lot of them have a little bit more patience than others. But that's why you see them screaming and stammering around, because they know the way they want it done, and it's not being done that way, especially you have to tell a guy multiple times how to do it. And Michael Vick is got some other problems, you know, not just the Colin Kaepernick comments about cutting his afro and all that, which he tried to walk back. You know, he's being inducted into the Virginia Tech Sports Hall of Fame, and a lot of people who are opposed to this move because of the reason he went to prison and the dogfighting and such. And I feel the same way about this as I did about those who were opposed to him being reinstated into the NFL. The guy did the crime, he did the time. And here's a guy that was raised in a certain environment where things that we know are wrong, well, they were looked upon as being right in the lay of the land there in his environment. And so he paid for that. Now he's going to be inducted into the Virginia Tech Sports Hall of Fame. I had no idea what the hell Virginia Tech was until Michael Vick put them on the map. Yeah. So this is not about Michael Vick being inducted into the Humane Society. This is about Michael Vick being rewarded for his athletic ability and putting the Hokies on the map. Because I didn't know what, still don't know what a damn Hokie is, and hadn't heard of Virginia Tech until he did what he did. And so I think people, while they're not going to get past it, they act as if he got away with something. He didn't get away with a damn thing. He lost his freedom. He lost millions upon millions of dollars. And yes, he did the time and he got another chance to play football, which is what should happen. And so quit putting or placing so much upon this induction into the Sports Hall of Fame. It's about sports. It's about what he did on a playing field, not what he did off the playing field. And it's not like he got away scot-free with those crimes.
And I think that the Virginia Tech Sports Hall of Fame is for Virginia Tech fans. And I think that Virginia Tech fans probably have real fond memories of Michael Vick at Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
So it's really for them. And it doesn't mean it's that whole deal where just because someone gets an honor, it doesn't make what he did in the past okay.
You don't condone it. And Virginia Tech's not condoning it.
Separate things.
Yes.
Putting him in the Hall of Fame because he was a really exciting football player for them. The most exciting that they've ever had.
And no one had ever heard of Virginia Tech outside of Virginia Tech, outside of Blacksburg.
I was laughing when you were talking, not by anything you said, but I caught a glimpse of the television in the studio of Lucky Whitehead, I guess was on ABC News.
Ah.
And he had a hat on that had a puppy on the...
Oh.
And I just started thinking about...
Now, what was the name of his dog? The real name?
Blitz.
Blitz, yeah, Blitz.
I ain't steal no dog hat.
I ain't stole no dog.
I ain't stole no puppy hat.
What'd you name the dog?
Yeah, Bugatti. And I named the other one Casino. Got to get him on again.
Yeah, we got to check in with Bugatti from time to time, man.
And again.
See what's happening.
And again.
I bet he feels sorry for Lucky.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a double whammy. You get your dog stolen, and then you get cut.
Yep. His dog has his own Instagram account.
Blitz does?
Mm-hmm. Blitz too fast.
Kyrie Irving follow that one?
Only 28 following. Oh, no. 8,000 followers. Oh,
for the dog?
Yeah. Well, it's a very famous dog now.
But you know the dog is not...
Don't just stop. People don't follow a dog on Instagram because they think the dog is posting pictures. They follow it because they want to see pictures of the dog.
They just want to see Sasha get Hoyo on?
Yeah. I follow Bulldog accounts time to time.
I follow... Oh, that's right. Yeah, I follow Husky's account.
Yeah, yeah. See? You don't follow because you actually think that the dog is like posting stuff with its paw, right? I mean, you do it because you like pictures.
I saw a commercial with the dogs driving.
Oh,
so
did
maybe
you?
Maybe it's true. Maybe they do not post things.
Okay.
They're probably better at Instagram than I am.
MLB trade deadline fast approaching. Bob Nightingale, he's going to join us next.
Woo! This is Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
We learned in hour number one, Mr. Jones.
I don't even like big booties.
So Cam Newton may be his man. The Panthers QB checked into training camp yesterday well under last year's playing weight. Head coach Ron Rivera is impressed.
I think he came in somewhere around 246 or something like that. So pretty excited about, you know, where he is right now. And again, he's been like this all offseason. He's had a very good offseason considering the fact he couldn't throw, but he worked very hard.
Newton played last season around 260. He'll be on the field today for camp's first workout, but will be limited following offseason surgery for a torn rotator cuff. Chauncey Billups told a Denver radio station yesterday he was aware of Kyrie Irving's unhappiness when talking to the Cavaliers about their GM job. He also admitted to be worried about the organization's assets if LeBron left next summer. The Suns have been linked to the Cavs as they apparently explore options for Irving. Phoenix has reportedly told the fourth pick from June, Josh Jackson, he will not be included in any talks with Cleveland. So there are John Sterling home run calls.
Happy holiday. Happy holiday.
And then there's Matt Hicks on 105.3 The Fan down in Dallas.
Here he drives one down the right field line. Home run number two tonight. Yes, sirree, Bob.
Yes, sirree, Bob, because it's 1954. Second home run of the night for Joey Gallo and a 10-4 Ranger win over the Marlins.
Leave my Texas man alone, right?
Yeah?
Yeah.
You want to stand by yes, sirree, Bob?
Yeah.
You would.
Strap it on, then.
Sterling and the Yankees beat the Reds last night, by the way, 4-2. Their first run scored while Cincinnati was turning a triple play in the second inning. That hadn't happened in 11 years. The Red Sox then lost their fourth straight, 6-5 in 13 in Seattle. Boston now leads New York by just a game in the AL East. The Sox did make a trade last night, getting veteran infielder Eduardo Nunez from the Giants for two minor leaguers. Cleveland outscored Anaheim 11-7 in 11. KC a 3-1 win in Detroit, and Tampa Bay beat Baltimore 5-4. The Dodgers down the Twins 6-2 for their 70th win of the season. The Astros blanked the Phils 5-0, and Milwaukee an 8-0 victory in Washington. The Nats say Steven Strasburg has a nerve impingement in his right forearm, but should make his next start later this week. Strasburg left after just two innings on Sunday. And from the Octagon, John Jones and Brock Lesnar expressing mutual interest in a fight. Jones brought it up first, then Lesnar said anytime, anywhere when asked for a response by the AP. First, though, Jones meets Daniel Cormier this weekend at UFC 2-something. Greg, back to you.
UFC 2-something. Thanks, Bogus. Appreciate it. Joining us right now is Bob Nightingale, USA Today, sports MLB columnist and MLB Network insider as we approach this trade deadline. Bob, good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Yeah, doing great. How about you guys?
We're doing very well. How's this market shaping up right now? You feel like it's more of a buyer's market as we stand here today?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's a ton of relievers in the market right now. And just a couple of good starters. So I think we'll see a lot of volume here. I'm not sure about how many star quality.
When you look at the NL Central, you know, other than the Reds, it's pretty tight there. And I don't think, at least I wasn't aware that the Brewers would be sitting atop of it as we sit here today, getting closer to the trade deadline. What has been the reason for their resurgence?
Well, you see, offense has been, spectacular. Defense has been the pitching's just been okay. It's starting to fade right now. So, they're going to get Anthony Swarzak from the Chicago White Sox. And it's still on the Sonny Gray sweepstakes along with the Yankees. I think for them to stay in this thing, realistically, they need a guy like Gray.
Well, you just mentioned Gray, and yeah, there's been a lot of talk surrounding him. How much is it going to take to get Sonny Gray? Is Sonny Gray still that dominant guy that he was a few years ago?
Well, injury prone. And I was not throwing his curveball as much, so scouts wonder, hey, is this guy protecting his arm? Is something wrong? It won't cost as much as what the Cubs gave up with Quintana. Quintana, had another year of control through 2020. Much more steady pitcher. So you still got to give up two decent guys, but not as big a stud as you had to give up for Quintana.
Read your column in USA Today about two mid-market teams in each of the leagues, the Kansas City Royals and the Pittsburgh Pirates, who were thought to be sellers now turning into buyers because of how well they have played. Names like Gerrit Cole and Andrew McCutchen and Mike Moustakas that were supposed to be on the move now staying and maybe awaiting a new teammates as they make a run. What do you expect out of these two teams as we approach the deadline?
Well, the Royals have been very aggressive. I think they're going to go get her a starter, too. They still have a chance to win the Central. They're right there, certainly as a wild card team. And, Pittsburgh, same thing. They've played better baseball than any team in the division for about 2 months now. And, it's probably the Cubs division to lose, but they're hanging right there. And if they don't get it, they still get the wild card possibility.
Speaking of Cubs, man, a lot of drama in that game yesterday. The White Sox and the Cubs, about four or five hit batsmen, and you had Chris Bryant being kicked out, ejected out of his first ball game. Hulk Harrelson up there going after the pitcher for John Lackey? He was going after the pitcher for the Cubs, so that got pretty heated. A lot of bad blood between these two.
Just a little bit. It was surprising because it's been kind of a dormant rivalry. No one's really made much of it. It's been kind of boring. And all of a sudden, now it's heated up. I mean, the White Sox, you know, they hate the fact that Cubs win the World Series. They wanted to be the, you know, they did in 05, and people forget they even did it. So I think a little resentful, all the attention the Cubs, you know, got for doing that. So, but, you know, not enough tension not to make a big trade with each other. So, I mean, the White Sox, if the Cubs do get back to the World Series, the White Sox are only going to have a hand in it.
Gio and Jones of Bob Nightingale of USA Today and MLB Network. The Dodgers and the Astros have been cruising through most of the season. Do you expect a big move out of either of them to ensure their World Series odds or improve them just a little bit?
I would think they would both have to. You know, Houston really like to have Sonny Gray. If not, you know, just like the Dodgers, they'd like to have Yu Darvish. We'll see if he becomes available. I mean, the Rangers are kind of hanging tough. Have a very soft schedule the rest of the way. Only play 12 games with teams over 500. So, yeah, Darvish and they're both ready. I think as good as these two teams are, they got to do something because it's not good enough just to win the division, get the playoffs. You know, they need to go deep, just like last year when the Cubs had a 20-game lead when they went and got a Rollins Chapman from the Yankees. That was a difference maker for the World Series.
Every year, everyone jumps on the Nationals bandwagon. They're there, you know, top the East again. You have faith in them winning, possibly winning a playoff series finally?
Yeah, they should. I mean, they need Strasburg to be healthy to go with Scherzer and of course, Gio Gonzalez. You know, very good team. Now they got their bullpen pieces. You know, and this is the year they finally have to win a playoff series. We'll see. You know, if you play the Dodgers or someone else, plays these guys in the playoffs, you kind of like the Nationals' chances just because of that rotation being so strong.
Gio and Jones of Bob Nightingale on CBS Sports Radio. Yesterday we had Jim Bowden on, and we were talking about his rift with John Heyman back and forth about the Yankees inquiring about Giancarlo Stanton. I guess we decided we're going to be on Bowden's side on that one, that didn't happen. But how aggressive is Brian Cashman, and how willing is he to part with the top-tier prospects in his organization that he's accumulated recently to go out and really compete in 2017?
Well, I mean, Sonny Gray makes sense, and so does Quintana, just because you have the guy under control. I mean, he got Gray through 2019. They're going to need some pitching help. That being said, they're not going to just jump with the prospects to kind of go for this thing. They've been rebuilding this thing for a while and want to continue doing so. So I don't think they would just empty the cupboard for anybody. I don't care who it is. You know, Gray makes sense. I'm not sure anybody else really makes sense for them right now.
Bob, I saw where Pablo Sandoval, he's signed with the Giants minor league contract. What's happened to him? Was it just becoming a fat cat, literally and figuratively, got the huge contract after the Giants win the title again, goes to the Red Sox and does nothing?
Well, yeah, I mean, he got very heavy there for a while, then got himself in good shape in the offseason. He just wasn't, you know, a good player. I mean, obviously, the Red Sox never thought he'd return, or else it would have eaten $50 million of that contract. You know, for the Giants, hey, it makes sense. Might as well take a gamble on the guy. You know, beloved in San Francisco, and it's a pretty look. But, yeah, just when those guys hit a wall, and I can't really say the Red Sox overpaid because the San Francisco Giants were offering the same thing, and the Padres offered even more than both those teams. So just one of those things where a guy hit a wall very quickly. We'll see if he can bounce back or not. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen in San Francisco.
Another guy who's a former Red Sox, Jacoby Ellsbury, he's been benched the last couple ball games. He's been a pinch runner. That's it. And he has a lot of money left on his deal. What route can the Yankees take to, you know, deal with this situation? Because they love these young outfielders. You just attested to that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see the Yankees getting that kind of money, you know, like the Red Sox do with Sandoval. Worst comes to worst, you make him your fourth outfielder. You know, kind of embarrassing to have a guy making that much money as your fourth outfielder. But I think that's what we come. I'm still a very useful player. If they want to eat some of that money and trade them, they can. But I just don't see his trade value, you know, being such where, you know, they'll get anything back at this point.
All right, Bob, what's your gut feeling right now? Who do you like in both leagues as we stand before the deadline? I know many things can change, but as you've seen these teams mature, is it as easy as Dodgers, Astros, or you have a feeling somewhere else?
You know, before the season started, I had the Red Sox. I'll stick with them just because that rotation, and they're kind of scuffling right now. But when you have a, you know, Chris Sale and David Price and Rick Purcell at 1-2-3, Craig Kimbrel back in the bullpen, I like that team an awful lot. I think the National League is wide open. I think if the Cubs get Verlander, I'll go back with the Cubs. If the Dodgers beef up and get Darvish, I'll go Dodgers. Otherwise, I'll go Nationals. I just think now's our time. I just, you know, it's a very good team. Harper's had an outstanding year. They've had a lot of things go right for him. So I'll go Nationals if Darvish isn't traded at Houston or LA.
Be one of the 168,000 Bob Nightingale followers at B Nightingale on Twitter. Check him out on USA Today and the MLB Network. Bob, always love talking to you. Thanks for the time this morning.
Sure, my pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Bob Nightingale, breaking down that trade deadline. That's right. What are you giggling about there?
Nothing, sir.
Okay, that's right. Don't call me sir. I'm too young for that.
That's why I called you sir.
Coming right back.
Greg Giannotti, Brian Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, guys, it's Eliza Schlesinger, and you're listening to Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Who wins a game of beer pong between all of you guys? Hashtag ask the pros. Sign up to be an O Rewards member today and start earning instantly. O Rewards members earn $5 back for every 150 points you earn. It's fast, easy, and free, and only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. See store for details. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Bogish is walking into the studio right now, and it may be because he left his headphones in here. It may be because he wants to add to the Ask the Pros question. Now, before Bogish walked in here, my answer was going to be Bogish could win a game of beer pong between us because he is, like, out of all of us.
Cool.
No. Yeah. Quintessential white Bud Light drinking college dude out of all of us. And that is the person who's really good at beer pong. So I think that Bogish probably has a leg up. In the game, and I have proof here and a witness, in the somewhat drunk backyard Olympics, the game that I will take anybody on, and I have one witness, maybe two, I forget if Pete was around for this too.
I was.
Is cornhole. I will take anybody out in cornhole. Beer pong, I'm willing to say...
Cornhole?
Not so much.
Cornhole?
Yeah, the beanbag.
Right,
toss.
You have to drink if you don't get it in a hole?
Well, there's... We're talking about the game with the boards and the beanbags.
Right.
Drive it on then. Man, just talking about backyard game, I can't even... I mean, you guys...
It's being adult.
Jeez.
For a minute.
Just trying to walk around. I mean, there's
one
like
segment.
Landmines everywhere in this. No, but
you are not shaking. Look at him. He's all exasperated. Yeah. Mr. Instagram model pimp.
What? First of all, Greg suggested two of the three that day.
How many did you suggest?
Oh, only really one.
When Greg was
reluctantly.
Out.
Reluctantly.
How many did you show me when he was out?
I think a couple.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm just trying to be friends with you. That's the one thing you like is girls. What else am I going to show you?
I know. It's like,
that's the only way to get to me.
Yeah. Basically.
It's like when I try to get my dog in from outside the backyard. I go, treat, treat. It comes running. That's what we have to do to get your attention.
Yeah, whatever.
I don't even like big booties, but I like her.
Okay, proceed, G.
So anyway, cornhole, the beanbag toss right. thing. And you don't need to drink all the time. I think that I actually, when I take the edge off a couple of drinks, I actually get better at it.
So you think Bogish, you're just going to automatically assume that Bogish would win in beer pong?
I will. Well, yeah, I would. He would be my choice in that.
I appreciate your confidence.
Yeah.
I think you're wrong.
Okay.
So he can handle his... alcohol better than...
Well, I just think that he's probably participated more than the rest of us.
One of the best beer pong outings I ever had was in Playa del Carmen, and I whipped butt!
Did you?
Yes! Matter of fact, we were doing tequila. We said to hell with the beer.
Wow, tequila pong.
We switched over to tequila.
Man's game.
Tequila pong.
We switched over to tequila. Yeah. Yeah, it was outstanding. Yeah.
Better be good tequila.
Oh, come on, man. I can't go any cheap tequila. It was great. So back in the day, I probably could hang with you, Bogus. Today, no. You're right. As we sit here today, no. But the old Brian, yeah.
All right, how about you two guys in there? Anybody want to claim that they're a beer pong savant?
I think I could do all right.
All right.
Okay. You've seen me shoot small balls in the newsroom.
I have. You're very, very good at that.
With the small balls, yeah.
Yeah, I'm great with the small balls in there.
Very, yes.
No, I am.
Here we go again.
We know. Okay. It's, yes, every day in the car. We got you.
Pete?
I'm like Lucas Duda. I'm very streaky.
Oh, okay.
I have good stretches, and then I just
nobody knows who he is.
Yeah, I know.
First baseman
of
the Mets.
Come on, Pete. I mean, making Lucas Duda references on this show.
So every now and then you get on a streak in beer pong.
That's right. I get on a hot streak 4 or 5 in a row, and that's it.
All right. So I'm going to still say Bogus.
Oh, as we said it today, yeah, no
I'm
going to
say Bogus.
Yeah. Thank you.
I'll say...
When was the last time you participated in beer pong?
It's been a long time. Actually, while Greg has cornhole, I've become very fond of ladder toss. You played this game?
Ladder toss?
Yeah, that's what it's called. And on the bag it comes in. It's like a PVC pipe, like 3 rungs, and you've got 2 golf balls attached by a string, and you got to wrap, you throw it from a distance, and the ball wraps around one of the 3 rungs, and the highest one is the most points.
Huh.
It's fun.
White folk game.
Yeah. Well, when folks aren't shooting your dogs in the front yard, you got to figure out what to do.
Yeah. Like Can Jam.
What do you think of that one?
Can Jam.
You know Can Jam?
What the hell is that?
Yeah, this is another pass the time in the backyard if you're white game.
How do you think I built up my speed, man?
When there's no fear of bullets.
Yeah.
You got right. There's Frisbee. So much fun you can have in your yard.
I would not have been an athlete.
So you get 2 people. All right, teams of 2. And you get this like garbage can looking thing.
All right.
That's got a slot in the middle, all right, on each side.
Okay.
And you have a frisbee, and you toss the frisbee towards the garbage can, and you try to get it in the slot if you can, but that's difficult.
All right.
But then the other person on your team can smack the frisbee into the garbage can. Can't grab it and put it in there. Has to hit it in. Like, you know, like jam it in like that. So that's another.
Okay.
Yeah.
Listen, there's probably going to be a Bogus House barbecue before the summer's over. I have all 3 of these games, cornhole, ladder toss, and can jam.
Look
at you. You make the trip, Brian. We'll play whatever you want.
When is this? I might have to
show. I don't know yet.
Dominoes.
Sometime in August.
Wow.
I love dominoes.
You have dominoes?
I don't have dominoes.
Well, I'll bring my own.
Okay.
Yeah. Brian in the corner with a blunt and dominoes while we play Can Jam.
By yourself. Because
unless you bring without me.
Unless you bring a friend.
See you like squatting down. Like, I don't care. I'm by myself.
Kids all going to be around. Huh?
Yeah, leave me alone.
What is that guy doing in the corner?
I've just seen like your neighbors show up with like a casserole and then just hand it to you and leave.
Andrew, there's a man in your the corner of your yard.
I thought we had an agreement.
No one sounded the alarm.
We have a neighborhood watch for a reason.
Your HOA fees are going up after this.
Is he playing dominoes?
Why is he slamming them? Damn, bitch!
Oh, that'd be one hell of a scene. Oh, man, I tell you.
We have to create that scene. Let's do it. There goes the neighborhood. Guess who's coming to the barbecue?
You know that there's one in your backyard, right?
One of what?
All right, so I'm looking forward to this.
I'll respond next year, okay?
Yeah, I did that too.
Did you do it too?
I did the same thing.
Oh, you get on me about responding?
I admitted it. I responded even later than you did. It was very confusing.
It was very confusing, yes. That was my point. It's like, damn, did I just get this?
Yeah, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Oh, I can't make it.
Appreciate the input.
That was a few months ago.
Yeah, I threw the dominoes out.
Bogus family barbecue. Do they get rowdy or the kids are around? It kind of keeps that's the governor on the party.
Well, I thought we were doing an adults only barbecue, so it could get rowdy, but apparently that we're not.
I went to one last July 4th.
Yeah, that wasn't our best effort.
There was four people.
That was the last minute thing that didn't go very well.
Oh, that's right. I remember that. It was a failure.
There was no one there.
It was. It wasn't good.
There was four, including me.
And you drove, your round trip drive was longer than you stayed at the house.
Yes.
Which is really your fault.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, when are you having a housewarming party at your new base?
Yeah.
I don't think we are. It's been a year.
Yeah.
Has it been a year? Yeah. You've been there a year already?
Yep.
Wow. I've only had two parties in our house in a year and
those
a
are fun
half.
Guys. Remember when we were invited
year
to
and a half,
cool
yeah.
Kentucky Derby party?
Nobody was going to show up to that. I do want to do another Geo and Jones boat day. I would like to do that. But you have like every weekend booked until Labor Day.
I'm free on Saturdays. It's Fridays that might be more of an issue.
So you're free on Saturdays?
Yeah, I can make it happen.
Okay.
I'm free this Saturday.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
See, I'm not.
I know. And the weather's terrible.
Yeah, I know. It turned out being crap. Would you come to a boat day?
Sure.
All right.
Yes.
I can do in 2 weeks.
A couple of weeks?
The August 5th or whatever it is.
Okay. We'll look into that. All right. I want to put that together.
Oh, that's actually a potential, the likely barbecue date, too, at the Bowling House,
oh,
August 5th. So.
Oh, yeah. Man. Damn.
You can't come. Damn it.
I'm here this weekend.
That's a potential date?
Yeah. Oh, I'd actually the likely date.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
are you barbecuing?
Yeah.
Are you any good?
I'm all right.
I'm all right.
See, I want to get Brian. This sounds weird me saying this, but I want to get Brian alone out there on the boat. I want to see him like full action. I don't want him around Mike or Pete or Bogish. I want me and Brian. I want to take him to places on the boat and then unleash him.
This sounds dangerous, Brian.
That's what
I
want.
What do you mean full action? What does that mean?
I don't want him. I don't want Mikey B to put you in a bad mood. Like
I'll just throw his ass overboard. How about that?
You know, I just want to have you, just me and you cruising, the two bros, and then landing over there and then having a great time. That's, you know, instead of like catering to everybody's needs and I got to worry about this guy, that guy. I just want, that's what I want. I'd like that.
And get to chasing in the Hamptons.
I'm insulted that I'm being lumped in with those two guys in this conversation.
You should be.
Cramp Brian style.
I
got to
give them credit, though, last year. Mikey B and Pete, they came out.
Except for Mikey B leaving his shoes.
And his Fitbit.
Oh, yeah.
You found that by accident, didn't you?
Yeah, I was like, what in the hell? It was like melted.
It didn't really work.
So he was on a boat for like a week and a half.
Yeah, the mileage is now messed up.
We don't do enough social stuff, this group here. We really don't, you know? I don't know whose fault it is. That's probably Brian's.
No. We have a new rooftop bar we need to go christen as well. So
I'll
let me know when you're ready.
Peace. I'll be there. Peace.
Come on.
Free alcohol. I'll be there.
I'm there.
I'm there.
You could build the train set together.
Right in the middle of that bar.
Oh, by the way, the wooden train table that Tiki gave to Tierney that's been sitting in the newsroom for a year, you can get for $80 at Walmart.
70.
Oh, sorry. $70 at Walmart. So we will take, because we're going to sell it now, we're going to take matters into our own hands, we'll take 50 for it. So if anybody's got a small child who likes wood and trains, well, then give us a call. Give us a ring at 855-212. It's going to be like Tradio. We got a wooden train table.
Do they need to pick it up?
Didn't we sell those shoes?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we actually mailed those shoes to somebody. Yeah.
Well, we're not mailing this train to somebody. They got to come get it, right?
No, we'll mail it.
Yeah?
I'll pay for the postage. I don't care.
All right.
Got to get it out of here. Got to get it out of here.
Selling people stuff.
I'll use the $50 to mail it just to get it out. It's time. Thanks to Bob Nightingale, Mikey B, PDB, Bogish, Jacques Alone. Talk to you tomorrow. Geo and Jones, CBS Sports Radio.